Praesit vidi et spiritus sancti. Amen. In the gospel reading today, one of the things we have to be able to recognize is the person to whom our Lord revealed himself. To the Jewish people, other than on a couple of occasions, he didn't reveal himself openly and clearly. But here you have a Samaritan, a woman who is not among the Jews. And she said, I know the Messiah is coming. And Jesus said, I am he, the one you're talking to. Now, this is a woman who you'd have to say would be about the most unexpected person for the Lord to give that information to. She'd been married 5 times. She's now living with somebody who's not her husband. She is completely rejected by society, which is why she's at the well at noontime when nobody else is out there, because it was forbidden for her by the rest of the town to be out there when anybody else is out there. So she was completely shunned. And yet that's the one that God goes to. Isn't it an amazing thing? But when we look at that and we say, well, he tried talking with the Pharisees, he tried talking with the Sadducees. They didn't want anything to do with him. Their self-righteousness would not allow them to listen to our Lord. But here's somebody who knew herself to be a sinner, even acknowledged it. When Jesus said, go and get your husband, she said, I don't have a husband. And when our Lord revealed all that she had been involved in, she didn't deny it. But in fact, could go into the town and say, come and see somebody who's told me everything that I've ever done. And then once again, we have now a group of people who they were technically half Jewish, but that's why they were shunned, because they were half pagan as well, or Gentile. And so the Samaritans, they're willing to listen. Our Lord stays with them for 2 days, and they say to the woman, we no longer believe because of what we believe because of what he has said. It took that little tiny bit of time for these people who, as you can tell from even what the woman was saying, do you think yourself greater than our father Jacob who drank from this well? You can see the infighting that goes on, sort of like Minnesota and Wisconsin or Minnesota and Iowa, you know, all the stupidity, oh, we're better than you or whatever. Well, that's exactly what was going on. The Jews are saying, oh, no, the Samaritans, no, no, the Samaritans are, oh, no, not the Jews. And here these people are willing to listen when Jesus comes and tells them the truth, and they accept it, they believe it. The Jewish people didn't. Isn't it an amazing thing? So it's something that we all have to think about since we've been given the fullness of the truth. Are we willing to listen to our Lord? Well, we'd all give him lip service and say, absolutely, if Jesus said it, then I know that, I would listen. And then we prove ourselves over and over and over again that we don't. And so we can't make that kind of a claim. And we need to look, because here this woman, acknowledging her sinfulness, she's been rejected by everyone, so obviously she's worked through some of the whole area of the attachment to the human respect. She doesn't care what anybody thinks of her anymore. And yet she's the one that our Lord chooses to be the apostle, to go to these people and say, come in here, somebody who told me everything that I've ever done. They didn't really want to listen to her. And yet somehow they did. And ask the Lord to stay with them. Do we do that? Do we want our Lord to stay with us? Do we want to stay with him? We also recognize from the first reading that there's another issue here. So here we have this woman, as I've talked about, obviously a very sinful woman, somebody who's acknowledging her sinfulness, somebody who has the humility at least to speak the truth. And now, once that conversion happens, she has to live her life in a different way. And she did. She's a saint. Saint Photina, if you want to look her up, Photina, the woman at the well. And so obviously, again, not someone that we would look at as being the average saint. And yet, she's canonized. So that means you and I, who are sinners, can be canonized too, if we are willing to have the kind of humility that this woman has, to acknowledge our sins, to accept the purifications that come with being rejected and all the other things that happen to us, and if we are willing to listen to the Lord. But then as we move along in the spiritual life, we have to recognize that, as our Lord said, to those, from those to whom more has been given, more will be expected. So what we see in Moses is that because of his pride, showboating a little bit, because he got angry, isn't it true? Moses is called the meekest man on the face of the earth. And these people whined and complained so much that they actually got to Moses and he got angry. And so he takes his staff and he strikes the rock when God told him, speak to the rock. Because God was going to make the water come forth. Now remember, Moses had lived out in the desert for a number of years, and they knew out in the desert exactly what to look for. There are certain patterns that they can see in the rocks to know exactly where the water is behind it. That the sediment fills in, and so the water just backs up behind it. So you can smack it, and you can break the sediment off, and the water will come flowing. And that's exactly what Moses did. He knew what was back there. The people didn't. They had been living, I mean, it was in Egypt, but they had been living kind of in a city. And so they had no idea what to look for out in the wilderness. So they could be wowed when Moses did this. And God said, you can't go into the promised land. Now, if you and I did something that was arrogant, it probably isn't going to cost us heaven. But you also must recognize that the higher you go in the spiritual life, the more responsible you're going to be. And therefore, a sin which may be something very small for somebody who's hardly even had a conversion might be very serious for somebody who is at the height of the spiritual life. And that's just a reality for all of us. So even there, to be able to look at it and say, oh, well, my sins are all just little. Maybe not. Maybe objectively they're small. Maybe objectively they're venial. But how about subjectively? Yeah, 20 years ago when you had a conversion, maybe that would have just been a little tiny thing. Probably didn't even notice it because of all the big things that were in the way. Now, if you've grown in the spiritual life over the years, now that little thing is a lot bigger. Oh, objectively, it's still just a little thing. But objectively, so is what Moses did. And it cost him entrance into the promised land because one act of pride. So we need to be so very careful. And don't excuse ourselves. That's what we like to be able to do, or sometimes we like to look down on others and think, well, at least I don't do that. Well, some of us maybe say, at least I don't do that anymore, because maybe I used to. So who am I to stand in judgment of this person who's doing the very thing that I used to do? Or maybe I used to do something even way worse than what that person is doing. So my task then is to pray for that person. If God has given me the grace to be able to have a conversion, to get out of that kind of stuff, then I need to pray for that person's conversion so that they can accept the truth. Rather than standing in judgment of that individual, I need to pray for them. All we can do is look at ourselves and say, you know what? The only way that I am where I am today is because somebody prayed for me. I can't take credit for this. So if that's the case, and we can't take credit for our own conversion, we can't take credit for any growth in holiness, then we have to be grateful for whoever prayed for us and for the mercy of God. Isn't that then what we would want for these other people? For them to know the mercy of God and to pray for them so that they can have that same kind of conversion that we've had. So again, all these things just to be able to call to mind what we're doing. God called you. I don't know most of you real well, so I can't say for certain, but I can probably speak pretty well to say God called you because you are a sinner. I can speak for one person, and I can tell you that's exactly why God called me, because he couldn't find anybody worse. That's why he called you too. Praise him, just like that woman at the well. And so now the question is, what's my response? If I am that low, then I had better be awfully grateful that God has dug me out of the hole and lifted me up and given me what he's given me. Not because I deserved it, not because I've earned it, but purely because of his mercy. And then to recognize the other side of that as we move along, we're held more responsible. So we want to continue to cooperate with that grace, not just in that moment of conversion, which we need to, but continual conversion, constantly turning more and more perfectly to the Lord. That's what he's looking for as we continue to grow, become more like him, to not take our eyes off of him. And you can see, even looking at Moses, how the temptations can be right there by what's around us. So be really careful. Keep your eyes on the Lord and seek to serve him. That's what this is all about. It's not about whether we're better than someone else, higher than someone else, less of a sinner than someone else. Not at all. Especially, again, when you look at it and say, if we're moving along, the smaller sins become bigger. Yeah, so somebody might be doing something objectively bigger, but I might be held responsible more so for doing something small, sort of like what happened with Moses. So we can't stand in judgment of anyone. Just need to pray for them. We need to be grateful. We need to do our best to cooperate so that we can keep our focus on the Lord. Dominus vobiscum.